Please take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. We've been working our way through the Sermon on the Mount, and we've come to a couple of verses that, in my estimation, I could have worked them in a pericope of words in Scripture slightly different, but they warrant preaching themselves. They're of such vast importance that to dwell upon them, even for those of us who know the way, is still vastly beneficial. And so I want us to hear from God's word in chapter 7 of the book of Matthew. And we have these two verses here, beginning at verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few who find it. I'd like to read a parallel passage found in the Gospel of Luke. And in Luke 13, 22 through 24, these words are found. This is speaking of the Lord Jesus. He went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then one said to him, Lord, are there few who are saved? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Let's pray. Our Father, this morning as we come before you, we wait upon your word to help us, to instruct us, to teach us, to feed us, to cause us to grow by your Spirit's operation on our hearts in a mysterious way above the way that we can even understand or comprehend. We know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we open it, so we read it, so we sing it, so we preach it. And we ask that your Spirit would own it into our lives eternal. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I think everyone understands the necessity of directions. Even a little child can understand that it's helpful to follow some directions in their life. And this applies, I think, in just about every area of life, doesn't it? If you have good directions, it's usually pretty helpful for us. If you want to make good ice cream, ladies, what do you need? Or ice cream perfectors, what do you need? You need a good recipe. You need good ingredients, a way to put them together. It has to be done right if it's going to be good. If you're going to win at sports, athletes, what do you need? You need strategy. You need to understand the game. You need to know the rules. You need a plan. You need directions. That's why people hire coaches. And college coaches, they're paid millions of dollars to do this. It's so important. I think it was OU's coach that was paid the highest, football coach in this region, in the several millions of dollars. And so they consider it very important. I didn't set that figure before you to make you covetous of his salary, only to show you the importance of following directions, okay? Now, directions are more than just a convenient thing, aren't they? They're something that is not just optional if you want to succeed in life. Directions are essential for what is really important in life. Things like education, family, health, finances, emergencies. Oh, there's a big category, emergencies. What do you categorize? Well, consider for a moment just how essential good directions were the day that the World Trade Towers of 9/11 collapsed, almost two decades ago this year, this coming year in September, right? And how many of you remember where you were when it happened? Children, I know you don't remember that, but we who are older can tell you day and time and place where we were standing or sitting, what we were doing when the news came to us that those buildings had been run into by jet planes, jet bombs, and then collapsed. 2,606 souls perished in the collapse just of the towers themselves, of the North and the South Trade Towers. on that one day. Now, out of the reported 10,000 people who were habitating that building and that building compound and structure, the two towers and the compound around it, 10,000 people, one quarter of the people that day died. They died. And most of us have heard of the tragic or oftentimes heroic stories from that very day, haven't we? Each of those two stories, two towers rather, 104 stories, we were told, collapsed. And the South Tower took 56 minutes from the time the plane impacted it to the time it just collapsed. And I know that's bringing up difficult memories in our minds even as we think about that. The North Tower fell only after 102 minutes, an hour and 42 minutes, and it just collapsed like a little Lego building stepping on it. But the often overshadowed aspect of this that I want to bring to bear on your minds today is that 99% of the persons below the point of impact where the jets ran into those buildings, 99% of those people survived that day. Did you know that? Out of the 10,000 people that were in that compound, the 2,600 were, most of them were above. Now, there were 800 firemen and the others that were below that fell when they were going in to rescue people out of that building. But the amazing thing is that the people who followed the directions that said exit this way and went down the stairs without pushing and shoving and running over other people exited the building in safety. Following directions is life-saving and important. And as serious as that is, I've got something even more serious I need to talk to you about this morning. And that is the two gates that Jesus sets before us in the Gospels here. As the sermon title suggests, as I pondered over it 6 ways from Sunday how to title it, sometimes a minister has a hard time titling his sermons. You may think that's an easy thing to do, but it's not so easy for me. I finally settled upon that. Two gates, one life. Choose wisely. That's what we need to think of here today. We need to think, yes, as tragic as that is, and that one day was, friends, there's a day of judgment that is coming. And not just to be morbid and to forget about the good that God gives us every day, that we wake up and have breath and life, but it is something we will all face one day, regardless of who we are and what position we are in life and how much money we have or don't have or our education or the way people look at us and our lives, the way we live them and so forth. All of us will one day stand before the King of Heaven and He will call forth all from the sea who died in the sea storms, drowned there, to those who are buried in the earth, to those who are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord. All will be called to stand before Him, and He will divide humanity like a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. That's the work the Lord Jesus is going to do. And He's going to make known, He's going to shout from the housetops, as it were, the things that we are ashamed to let be known in secret. Do I need to remind you of what's happened to the legacy of a very famed apologist in recent news? Someday our sins will no longer be secret from the world, but they will be shouted and everybody will know. God already knows. And so it's an important thing to consider the weightiness of this subject and to heed Jesus and enter the narrow gate of life. That's the instruction from our text. But let's unpack it further. Now that I've grasped, I hope, your attention in this, let's go a little further into this section. There are three main sections or points in these two verses, short amount of words, that I want to bring forward to you. First of all, Jesus gives us a word of instruction on life. It's good. Whenever Dad comes along and says, "Son, I think there's some things you need to know about life." You can know that you can have a nice car ride with Dad that day, and he can explain some things to you. or if you're getting ready to go off into to college or the workforce, and mom may come along and say, you know, not every girl is going to treat you as nice as I do. You need to watch out for your heart. You need to watch out for life. And